Let's begin.
Welcome to Build an Agency, a podcast where we talk about the ups and downs of entrepreneurship, growth tactics, building businesses, and the events that affect your company. Let's jump right in. Welcome back to the podcast. We are on episode 4, and I'm sitting here in the studio with Attilio.
What's up, dudes? We're super pumped here, actually. Actually, I'm super pumped. I don't know about you, dude.
I'm excited. We're having a great week.
Yeah. So, other than my freaking flopped Instagram post that I made earlier today. Okay, so I'm trying, like, I love the hell out of you guys. Like, just anyone who pays attention to us is, like, sweet. Like, I don't know if I'm an attention person or not, but it's, like, awesome that you guys are, like, following us on social media platforms. But, like, if I'm putting something out there to help people out, I want to be able to help you guys out. But you got to do, like,
What was the post?
So, I posted offering, like, 5 days free of our Instagram engagement, which is a service we provide for customers. Yeah. It's a service we provide for like small business owners or people who like really want to boost their Instagram following and stuff like that. And I posted saying that people should tag some of their friends that are interested in it, screenshot it, and then just DM me the screenshot. Like, okay. Yo, by the way, tag my friends. And I have zero responses, and it's been like zero responses. I have almost 1,000 followers at this point, like, and it's been 10 hours.
You think someone would have hit
dude,
you up?
I am like, actually, I'm going to create a story right here live saying why the hell did like, seriously, I don't know. I mean, I just want to help people, you know, like I just want to help people.
So. You were like extremely confident about that Instagram post and like we were going to like put like money on the post to get like big time reach, and we didn't actually end up with anything from our following. So I don't know. You can't win them all.
It's the posts. It's the things that you think are going to do great that don't perform well. And it's the things that you don't think will perform great that end up performing
like
really
killing
well.
It.
So
that you wish you would have like promoted with money. Yeah, seriously.
Like actually I wanted to like we were going to put native ads on this thing because we really wanted like to have a lot of engagement and kind of gamify the thing. But I guess Instagram was like saying that our resolution was either too high or too low, and
I don't know. I play by Instagram's rules and they still don't accept. Yeah. What I'm trying to put out here, so.
So maybe there's like a hidden rule. I don't know. Instagram's been kind of finicky lately with us. But whatever, we just got to play with it, right?
For sure.
So.
For sure. Yeah, we're just really excited about like exploring new ways to produce good content. Like we're talking with an office supply company right now who's trying to start a really strong high quality social media campaign, and we grabbed coffee with them at Starbucks, and we're just talking with them about the prospect of shooting like
free plug.
Oh yeah, free plug. Shooting original content. So you know, taking their the office supplies they're selling, and not just posting just constant product pictures over and over again, and not just rehashing videos that their vendors make, but doing something creative with the supplies they sell, whether it be something funny or catchy or whatever, and just trying to entertain people with what they do, which sounds kind of hard to do with an office supply company, but you know, we're figuring it out.
Yeah. One step at a time. I mean, I know that the reason why people go online is for information or entertainment.
Yep.
Right.
Like 100%.
You don't go there for, you know, whatever else. It's either like you're trying to get something from it, and being sold to usually isn't getting something from it unless you're like avidly looking for discounts or something, or you're like actually trying to buy something. So, I mean, it's kind of a tough hill to overcome. It's a tough hurdle, but just got to be creative, I guess. We'll see what happens in 3, 4, 5 months, 6 months. I mean, the campaign might end up looking really cool. I hope so. I know today we were talking about some really sweet ideas about adopting some of what's already working on YouTube and some other platforms and see how it works.
Yeah. So,
like blending office supplies.
Yeah, yeah. It involves probably a number of Zebra or Pentel pens and a blender. I mean, just doing all kinds of like goofy antics with office supplies in order to get people to not only follow, but when they see that we've posted a video on their social media accounts, they actually want to sit there and watch it because something might,
yeah, like,
you know, been funny. Like I don't know. We had a bunch of like goofy ideas, like kind of copying the blender guy or who blends iPhones, or setting up a bunch of brute trash cans up, make like a Ford out of them and plowing like my truck through it or something. I mean, just doing something just wacky and crazy, but
captivating.
Captivating the audience and making them laugh. You know what I mean? You know, something funny or stupid or whatever. And maybe they'll buy some pens, and that'd be great.
as like the salesman, the marketers, right? Man. So we want them to buy pens. We like, that's the end goal, right?
Oh man, they're such a cool client. I mean, they're cool guys.
Helpful too, which is nice.
So. They're helpful, and you know, we try to actually be really scrappy for our clients. The other day, one of them called me up and they need like a rush graphic design job for a meeting they're going to have in like 2 hours. And so like they like picked me up in their car and like took me to the FedEx shop and I was like doing graphic design work at FedEx,
like getting pull out illustrators.
I was busting out Adobe Illustrator and doing all their stuff right there in FedEx. And we're doing all the file transfer crap and the printing right there. Which was super funny.
Dude, I'm all about just like over delivery.
Well,
like I'm very about over delivery, especially since we're kind of just starting, you know?
Well, he told me, he told his partners about me going and like doing all my graphic design work for him in FedEx and getting it done immediately for his meeting. I had some free time before we had to go to a meeting at the tech club.
Yeah.
And, apparently they're like super impressed and stoked about it. So I don't know, just trying to go in above and beyond for people, and it may pay off later, right?
Yeah, it will pay off.
You just got to do the right thing. It's not even about the payoff as much as about like just like
staying in the right, taking the high road.
Yeah,
I feel like you can never say that you did something wrong if you always thought you did the right thing when you did it. You know,
I don't think when I'm in 20 years when we're looking back at this podcast. I'm going to sit there and go, man, that was a waste of time to go to the FedEx and like bust that out for, yeah.
The scenario that we were in at the time.
Well, that's what you do. That's what you do for your customers. And I hope in 20 years, future Travis, I'm putting you on notice that you're going above and beyond and bending backwards for your clients and being scrappy. Cause at the end of the day,
it's all about the scrap factor.
The scrap factor.
The scrap factor.
Yeah, for sure. So, anyways, they're actually probably one of my favorite clients right now, which I didn't think that an office supply company would be something I was excited about working with.
Distributor.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like the sexiest like product line, but the guys are just absolute hustlers, and they're totally open to like new and innovative ideas, and it's been good. I mean, they're like on top of their stuff. I mean, I know we've talked about like clients who, you know, don't pay their invoices on time, or, you know, they take forever to, you know, to get the content to us. We've had you know, problem clients, but these guys are just like refreshingly just on top of their stuff.
Yeah. Almost too on top of it.
But
you can't complain about it, right?
No, like that's not a bad problem to have, you know.
Yeah.
It's better than the alternative, which we've had plenty of that. So
yeah, even some of like the bigger, like our largest client right now is like so hands off that it's like too hands off.
Yeah.
Like we can't even get a hold of them when we want to get a hold of them. So which is in some ways nice, but in others it's like, hey, if we could get that password 3 weeks ago, it'd be great. But I mean, I guess you take the good with the bad, so.
It's all good. I mean, like, we've had moments where, like, complaining that our clients are, like, way too hands-off, and then we finally get to one on the other side of the spectrum, we're going, oh, my gosh.
I think it's, you know, I think you just have to kind of have a huge acceptance for all walks and just work around it.
Well, I don't know. Is there a practical middle ground? Like, I feel like people are either on or off.
Yeah, that's kind of true.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I haven't really met, like, the middle ground guy that's just, like, they're kind of in, they're kind of out. I don't know. I mean, I feel like clients are typically just, they're really out of the equation and hard to get a hold of. Or they're, like, calling you every, you know, multiple times a day and like, wanting to, like, get you some info they learned that could be helpful for their campaign or whatever, which, you know.
I think you take.
It's one side or the other.
So. I'm going to reach into future Attilio's mind here.
Future Attilio.
Sound some BS.
Is also unnoticed.
Is also, yeah, calling you out today. So I would say, I would think this. I would think that you reflect the personality of the client, right?
Sure.
So if someone's super hands-on, you also have to behave super hands-on. And with that, you know, you're also going to have super hands-off clients. So reflect the hands-off factor.
Yeah.
I mean, if they just want you to work and just work behind the scenes, then that's it. Just work behind the scenes, you know?
Sure.
Sometimes, you know, we wish we could get more. We would want or would like to have more or less. But, I mean, the reality is that it's not going to be that way. Like, if we're working with a CMO and she's swamped or he's swamped.
Yeah.
You know, they're not the first thing on their mind isn't their, like, their service company, their auxiliary service company. So, I don't know. You just, I guess, reflect what they are putting out and then hope that with 3, 4, 5, 6, 20, 100 clients, it just averages to a medium, you know?
Yeah. I don't know.
Hey, you brought up the tech club earlier. Do you want to talk about who we met over there?
Man, we met up with some of our banker friends to the tech club. And Attilio and I hadn't actually been there before, and so we really didn't know a lot of what to expect.
Another free plug.
Another free club plug. Like, the tech club is actually pretty dope. I just wanted to go ahead and say that, like, up front. Like, I'm usually not the most uppity kind of person in the world, and so going to these kind of places is usually not my deal, but, like, the tech club was actually surprisingly comfortable. For being as high end as it is.
Yeah.
And for our listeners who, like, don't know what the tech club is or might not be from the Lubbock area, the tech club is located actually at, like, the Texas Tech football stadium.
Yeah.
Kind of in the box area or whatever.
Yeah, it's like on the fourth floor, right?
So, yeah. So you go to the stadium and you kind of go in, take an elevator up, and they got this super nice restaurant with all these, like, tons of windows, then you can, like, actually look out onto the football field. It is fantastic. The view is amazing. The food is really good. Mega plug for Tech Club now. Anyways, that's just some context. Like, very fancy setting at the Texas Tech football stadium. And it was just a really awesome marketing opportunity networking opportunity.
There you go.
Yeah, dude, words. We're recording this at 11 p.m. on a Friday night. But what I thought was really cool was, although we had a meeting with these bankers, we also got to kind of network with a dude who owned an IT company that we got to talk to today.
Yeah. Which was really good. I think that place is a really, I mean, you mentioned already that's a good networking opportunity, but just, like, being in the area, having that exposure, like, to that crowd is good for networking.
Yeah.
So I would almost say that it's probably a good investment to actually get a membership at, like, a high-end or high-level club or something like that, just especially if that's your target audience, you know?
Sure.
Because if they're seeing you around, you know.
Yeah.
You'll get such a warm intro, like, oh my god, I saw you at the tech. Now that I think of it, I bet that's why a lot of people have, like, country club memberships and stuff like that. You know, like, the higher end stuff, just so that you're kind of, like, you have the presence with those people and...
Sure.
You know, once they see you around, it's such a warm intro.
Yeah, so we're in this nice setting. We're sitting with these two bankers, and they're getting to know our company, and obviously they're probably trying to get us to, you know, do a loan probably at some point, or
maybe bank with them in general.
Yeah, maybe bank with them. I don't know, but we're talking, and I get the question that I hate the most, which is, so where's your office at? So for those of you who don't know, we actually work remotely, and so
our whole team is remote.
Our entire team is remote right now,
except for Travis and I. We're together.
Yeah, but we're together all the time. We're working out of my home, with several of our SEO techs being in Chicago, Illinois. So we work remotely right now, not so much out of, it is out of necessity in a way. We're trying to run as lean as possible, mm-hmm. and to make wise financial decisions. Like, we wanted to make sure that our company was actually making money.
Like, good, like affordable money to, like, really run things. Like, I mean, to me, if you can't afford five of something, you can't afford one of it.
Sure.
So,
I mean, so we're talking right now with a realtor about finding us an office, like, space, mm-hmm. you know, so hopefully, like, really this summer we should be moving into an actual, you know, brick and mortar scenario. But when these guys are asking, you know, where's your office at, you know, you never know, because some people are like really open to the idea of businesses being remote, and some guys are just kind of like, oh, well, if you don't have an office, you're not a legitimate business or whatever. Like, you never know what you're going to get. And these dudes were just so stoked on this idea. They're like, this is exactly what we wish our clients were doing, is not spending money on things that you don't need in the moment. Like, I know a lot of I've got friends who own businesses who they got into debt immediately. They started with business loans and immediately got a brick and mortar and all that. And their company wasn't even making money at the time.
Yeah. Which, huge shout out. So these guys they're working at Vista Bank, right?
Vista
now.
Bank.
Like, I mean, the financial advice was really awesome, and it was super cool. Like, these guys, networked individuals, really like talking through our current situation and just like justifying like financial things. Like, it feels like sometimes we're crazy, a little out of the box, because we do want to run so lean when we see so many of our friends who are like,
they got their office space.
Yeah,
already,
just like, and get a loan, get an office space, do stuff like that. Like, and to us, it just like is a little crazy. It's a little out of the way for us, or out of realm to us, because it's just like, why would you put yourself in debt to then like do this, that, and the other? Like,
why put yourself in debt to buy something you don't need when your business isn't already making money?
What, like, unnecessary risk.
Like, when your income source is loans.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I just don't think that's a good call to give me like spring for the office building. And so, we're a virtually debt free company. I mean, we got a credit card like probably any other business, but we're not operating off of a bank loan. So, I mean, we built this company with our own sweat equity,
yeah.
and built a model and a service that's making money, and we're in the black, you know, making more and more money all the time. So, we're finally
turning black and green, I guess, right?
Is it the black or the green? I thought it was like,
well, red, black, green, I think. Or is it red? So red is when it's below break even, right?
Yeah, like you're in
when
debt.
It's black is when it's going down, but it's above break even.
Okay.
So your company still has money. But then there's another color.
I thought it was either red or black.
I thought
it was either you're in the positive in the black or you're in the negative in the red. But I'm not an accountant.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Okay.
But there's another color though.
Okay. Well,
like another color when you're going up and you're positive.
We'll have to call our fantastic friends at Vista Bank to ask them.
Free plugs. Just giving all kinds of free plugs on
today.
The show, dude.
Absolutely.
Just all kinds of free plugs.
But anyways, yeah, so we're you know, talking to them, and it was really affirming for us to hear that we weren't crazy for not springing for an office building immediately, and that we weren't less of a company just because we're working remotely right now. And so it's going to feel a lot sweeter whenever we do get that office space and we didn't have to go into debt to get it.
Yeah. And it's almost like, it's literally going to be so affordable when we buy it, just because it's like, oh, it's just another expense. Like,
yeah,
it's going to be like a chip on a shoulder or something. Like,
yeah,
something I mean, just brush off.
I think Attilio would agree with me. Like our kind of collective advice would be if you've got a startup or a company that's just now getting traction and you guys aren't making like money yet consistently, you guys should probably really hold off on getting fancy. Like find a place where you can all, you know, get together and work. So if you've got to, you know, rent out a small room or something somewhere, or if you have to work out of someone's house, like
the library,
like don't be afraid to do that. You know, you are just as legitimate as anybody else, you know, like, in fact, like, I don't know. There are a lot of companies that have a lot of fancy stuff that are actually not doing great.
Or that, yeah, just don't need it, you know, like, it's wasteful. It's wasteful. I'd rather pinch the pennies and get the return on investment. Like,
yeah.
The less depreciating stuff and the more appreciating stuff you can get, the better.
Well, I just can't imagine what it'd be like to be like super far into debt on a business loan and then immediately go get in a building. So you got this massive cost and now you're going, I've got to pay my loan. I've got to pay my rent. Mm-hmm. I've got to pay all that stuff. And my company's not making money yet. I just can't even fathom the stress. Like, it's just unreal. So like, whenever we go and get this building or this office space in the next, you know, month or two,
yeah.
Like, I'm not going to have buyer's remorse. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lose sleep at night wondering how we're going to pay the rent because we're making the money to afford it. Right. Like, because we waited.
Right.
You know, so.
Double and triple over the expenses, so much so that it's like. Unbelievable profit.
Well, even the IT guy we networked with when we were at the tech club, like we were talking to him today and they're working remotely and they were like, hey, you know, do you have an office? Like, when are you guys going to get one? So we're not the only guys doing this.
Yeah.
And so it's I think it's a lot more normalized than the people realize.
Or show.
Like, yeah.
I think cause like we are just showed or we are like pushed onto the plate that this is what's normal, this is what's needed, and that's not the case. I mean, a lot of people like to show off when they're fancy, and maybe people don't like to show off so much when they're not so fancy.
You gotta quit being fancy. Like, no, really, like, be fiscally responsible. Don't spend money on things that you don't need. Like, $5 isn't just $5. You know what I mean? Like, $5 is like a big deal. Pinch those pennies. Like, every bit counts. Like, don't spend money on stuff you don't need. Not even a little bit. Not even a penny.
You can flip $5 into, like, a grand if you're smart with it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And a lot of businesses aren't doing that. They're thinking, oh, it's only $5 or it's only, you know, that charge wasn't
that big. It's just the cost. Go.
It's just, like, just a cost, you know, whatever. But, like, really, like, protect your money.
Yeah.
Protect your money. Plain and simple. But definitely crazy. And we've had to do some things, you know, to
protect our money.
To protect our money or to be a little less fancy, but in order to like continue driving the company. I don't know what I'm trying to say here. Like, essentially, like an example being the other day, we had an iMac in the company for a couple of years. And it's just been sitting collecting dust. I mean, I used to use it for graphic design when I started.
Yeah.
And I have since upgraded to a MacBook that can handle my programs better. And so my iMac was collecting, you know, dust. And so rather than just have, like, sitting there, like, letting this collect dust any longer, we just immediately sold the thing.
Boom, liquidated.
Like, we didn't, like, we could probably have made a little more money if we, like, would have, like, eBayed it or put it on Facebook Marketplace or whatever. But we sold it to just one of those places just buys your Apple products.
Yeah.
Made a few $100 and just called it done. But like at the end of the day, like if you have like charges that are just stupid or you guys are spending money on things you don't need, or if you've got things just sitting around that you could liquidate and get rid of, like,
that you just don't need. That's why it's good having assets, because you can liquidate things if you need to, which in fact is, you know, something I think is really important, is to have assets, because in case something happens, you know, you can start selling stuff off and make some money back. In fact, that's the reason why we sold the computer, the iMac.
Sure.
Because, you know, last month, if you guys remember us talking about it, we bought out one of our partners.
Yep.
So,
which was quite a substantial amount of cash.
Yeah, it was a substantial amount of money, and assets with it. So he got some assets and he got a substantial amount of cash. So we are like dipping pretty low here.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we're doing fine, but like we dipped really low, and so we were like, you know what? Let's just throw a little cash on cash on it and just get a little bit of padding why not? Like just liquidate it. We weren't using it anyway. We have two other servers that we probably need to liquidate somehow. Which, if anyone's looking for a server, hit us up.
Yeah, we got two servers we're going to be selling super soon.
Yeah, maybe we'll just, like, eBay it or something. I wish it was, like,
we should simple, probably eBay them. But make a little more off of those than...
I mean, we made, like, $400 for a 2012
iMac.
So what year is this now? 2017? So I guess when we bought it, it was, like, 2 years old or something?
I guess. I'm not
It was new, though, right? It wasn't used?
It was, they bought it at Best Buy.
Free plug?
No, not free plug. Don't go there.
but, okay, well, whatever. Either way, like, still, it was
all,
like,
all
it
that
was
to say,
used. And
protect your money with your life. Yeah. Liquidate what you're not using. Get rid of charges you don't need, etc.
I think last week we actually talked about how we, like, cut our expenses down like crazy this past month.
Yeah.
Like literally down probably about 65% right now, which is
for sure.
Like just huge. That's like, that's a lot of expense cutting.
Yeah.
So I think we're doing pretty good there.
We're on the up and up. So new office coming soon. Really excited about that. Lots of expenses cut. Being cut, you know, making lots more money. Excited about that.
Yeah. Dude, I am so
new pumped. Website coming through the pipeline.
I'm pumped for our website, our new website that we actually will be like getting pretty granular with our services. And I'm also super pumped. I'm writing up this proposal right now. Travis is helping write this up and like help with graphics and everything. And I'm just like so stoked to go talk to this huge kingpin here in Lubbock, and it's just like getting me all hot and bothered. I just like I can't work on this project without just like getting
freaking
super
out.
Pumped out.
Yeah, like he'll start like hitting his hand with his elbow and getting excited, like punching the air. Like he's getting so excited about this, you know, opportunity. So big things in store for us.
I used to fight. That's why I do that shit.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you guys like fight. Actually, Travis, you used to fight too, right?
I did, bro.
So we got two fighters on the team, dude.
Yeah. But we normally got like a pretty strong news segment at the end of each episode, but we actually haven't had a lot of time to pay attention to the news
this week.
I've had a crazy week. I actually get to go see Chance the Rapper in Houston, Texas this weekend. So I've been trying to, you know, bust it out and get as much work done as humanly possible, because I'll be out of pocket, you know, for several hours this weekend. So we haven't had time to mess with like news stories, but you know, I was looking around before the pot, we started, you know, recording the podcast, and there were just three news stories of things going on with airlines.
Dude,
right.
I'm tired of airline stories. Well,
so people are getting kicked off planes, and then Southwest is just like, they're showboating at this point. So the other day, like an airplane was about to take off, and right before they did that, they taxied back to the terminal, got a lady off the plane whose son had been in an accident and was in a coma in Denver, and they like got her on a new flight. They packed her a lunch. They sent all of her luggage to her hotel room, and they paid for all of it. And then today, another Southwest Airlines pilot, for his millionth passenger, like gave them a ton of gifts and paid for their plane ticket and all this. I don't know. I'm just like, it's great to hear, you know, the heartwarming, awesome stories of companies doing the right thing. But I almost wonder if they're doing this to capitalize on, you know, airlines being under a magnifying glass and everyone's looking at them. And that's why they're kind of like,
I mean, of course, like, wouldn't you do it though? Like,
well, but the other ones aren't.
All of your competitors are absolutely compromised right now.
Yeah.
Like, I think this is why I'm like actually pissed off about continuously hearing about all these airline stories is because I feel like they're seriously under a microscope right now. And it's just like so hard to get away from this stuff. I can't wait for the news to just like dilute the attention so heavily.
We're talking about this for a while before we started. Like, my theory is that airlines have always been terrible. And we all knew and understood that fact. And so it didn't really make the news. But when they slammed that dude's head, when United Airlines slammed that dude's head into an armrest.
This is the breaking point for the collective United States.
Drug him off the plane shirtless. Like, now everyone's under a microscope. And so every time an airline screws up, they make the news. And like Southwest, they're already, you know, probably the better airline here in the U.S. And they're like, oh, well, we paid for our, you know, we paid for our passengers' tickets because we're good guys.
Because we care. It's like, yes, we know you care. You're freaking Southwest, the best airlines. But like,
we know you care extra hard right now because everyone's looking at you. So, I mean, you never heard these stories like 3 weeks ago. Like,
yeah,
it's gotten.
And I'm sure stuff like this has happened too. It's not like, I don't know. It's not like the first time that someone's had to be taken off a plane. I'm sure, because overbookings have a like there is a such thing as overbooking. Like, I don't know.
I don't know. Really, like, what frustrates me, and I don't want to sound like a nut here, but I'm just really tired of the mainstream like media.
Yeah, they don't focus on things that like actually matter.
Well, I remember like CNN,
which makes things really noisy in my mind.
I remember a couple years ago, CNN spent an entire month on that MH370 Malaysia plane that went down that they could never find.
Yeah,
and then other planes started going down, and they just quit talking about it. Like, I don't know, they just like they focus on so much just different random.
Yeah, it's like they hyper-focus on the wrong thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you couldn't hear about anything else other than about this one plane story. And so one thing gets popular, and that's all the news stories.
Yeah. Is it possible that there's not enough news in the world?
No.
Nah.
There's no way. Absolutely not.
Like, then there's got to be some kind of agenda that every media station is, like, trying to uphold. I don't know. I literally am like tired of hearing stories that are just like irrelevant, like stupid stories. I don't know. I mean, the United Airlines thing was good once, and then it was like, why are we still looking at airlines? They're bad. They're all bad. We know they're bad.
In other news, everyone's forgotten about Pepsi.
I didn't even remember until you mentioned it.
Right, exactly. But so, who knows? It might be a giant conspiracy from Pepsi. But anyways.
You want to cash this out?
Dude, I definitely want to cash this out. All time right. To go to bed.
Hey, guys, thanks for seriously sticking around. I have to finish this proposal. Are you going to sleep? Oh, yeah, you got to wake up early tomorrow.
Yeah,
I
got to go see Chance the Rapper. Travis
has a long day tomorrow. He's lucky he's going to see the one, the only
Grammy winning
rapper with he got a Grammy. Was it him or was it Kendrick that did the fully like no physical album?
Yeah, it was Chance, dude.
It was Chance.
Yeah, because he mainly was like pushing that thing on Spotify.
So straight up beast mode, dude.
The best, in my opinion, the best artist, like.
Rapper of a generation.
I love Chance
the Voice of a generation.
Voice of a generation. Hey, big fan. So. Anyways, gotta get up early tomorrow.
Yeah, take it easy, guys.
Love you guys.
Thanks for sticking around.
Talk to you soon.
Leave us a review.
Yeah, leave us a review. Like, whether it's like good or bad.
Or don't like it.
Like, tell us how bad we are.
Yeah.
We'll also talk about that on the podcast. So if you want to make the show, like, just destroy us. Like, pick us apart bit by bit, and I will read it on the recording.
On the recording.
Whatever. Anyways, gotta go. Love y'all.
Peace.
Peace out.